The following message has been brought to you by Fairway Market. What's the buzz about honey? Well, those busy little bees are up to something, and it is delicious. The Fairway label honey is superb. Fairway only hires worker bees that are the best at what they do. This makes for a great tasting, high quality honey at an amazing value with the Fairway stamp of approval. And on top of being delicious, honey is a great substitute for other sweeteners and can even benefit your health. This includes better energy, respiratory improvements, and balanced blood sugar levels. It's a no-brainer. Get your Fairway honey today.
On HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkell. Here today with Casey Kelbaugh of Sideluck Pot Show. And we'll explain what that mashup means in a second. Casey, aside from being a fantastic photographer himself, has put together these potluck slash slideshow events called Sideluck Pot Show, hence that mashup compound word. Starting in 2000?
Right.
Yeah. In your hometown of Seattle, in your backyard, and had a whole bunch of artist friends over. But what was the impetus? Like, why?
Well, it was, I think it was born out of a little bit of frustration. I was at the beginning of my photo career, as you said, a little over 10 years ago. And I felt like there was nowhere where people could come together and share their work and get feedback in a kind of congenial, non-competitive, non-commercial way. So I reached out to pretty much everyone I knew who was doing something creative, and it was a mixture of potters and painters and photographers, and it was a really diverse group. And we held the first slideshow slash potluck in my tiny little backyard with an old Kodak projector, and basically people showed up and they loaded their slides into the tray, and you know, some of them were upside down, of course.
I love that. Amazing.
But that was the sequence, that was the curation, you know, and we'd, you know, sometimes people would play music alongside of it, but it was a lot of dialogue and conversation and questions, and it went really well, and everyone brought something good to eat, and so, you know, we said, why don't we try it again? So, you know, a few months later, we moved to a different part of town, and we did about 20 shows around Seattle over those 3 years, and it kind of took on a life of its own. After a while, we would, we would bring in a theme, so people would create work around an idea. And sometimes the potluck would also relate to that, but it just started very organically and grew, you know, very much through word of mouth and the interweb.
Very cool. Actually, we got a caller. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, it's Mike Lee from Studio Feast.
How
are
you?
Hello, Michael. How are you?
We've asked a couple of Casey's friends, collaborators, for an upcoming slideshow, which is actually happening this Saturday in Brooklyn, to chat with us as well. So thanks for being on air with us. Casey's just given a little bit of the background quickly of Sideluck itself, but then we're going to dive into it and really talk about, you know, the upcoming event.
Awesome.
So, starting in Seattle, you moved to New York in 2004.
Yep.
How did you bring Sideluck?
So, you know, when I was, you know, kind of doing a little bit of polling among creatives I knew, I just didn't get the impression that a potluck would go over very well here. I felt like everything was so consumer-oriented and kind of glossy and slick, and the idea of a potluck dinner seemed very Seattle to me, very West Coast. But we did the first event in my East Village apartment, which is still our office today, and it was just absolutely packed. 150 people there. There was just so much palpable thirst in the air for that kind of authentic engagement. And I got the feeling right away that there was a real need for it in New York. And we then moved, we took it around to Soho and then Chelsea. And with each event, you know, by the fourth or fifth event, we were getting up to 1,000 people showing up. So it's sort of remained plateaued at that level and fluctuates a little bit. But we're always kind of tweaking the model, keeping true to the idea of, you know, creating a warm, authentic atmosphere where people can feel not, you know, so it's a non-intimidating, non-like, quote unquote, art scene-y kind of vibe, because people are actually bringing food to the table. You know, they're getting their hands dirty. They're putting down their grandmother's favorite, cannoli recipe or something they've come up with that involves many different kinds of foam or whatever.
Yeah.
Right now, on Sunday, we have Saturday night, we have our 16th sort of main stage Slide Luck Pod Show in New York. It's part of the New York Photo Festival, which is a great series of events for the next... It's about 5 days long, newyorkphotofestival.com. And it's sort of the main event for Saturday night. And we have... we're showing about 40 artists. The slideshow is curated by Whitney Johnson, who's the new director of photography for The New Yorker. And the theme is upheaval. So a lot of the work that we're going to be showing is kind of centered around the idea of all of the insane amount of change that is surrounding us right now, from, you know, what's going on in politics, to the Middle East, to the climate. So there's that aspect of the slideshow. And the potluck, we're bringing in, we're doing our second annual beautiful, bountiful Brooklyn tasting hour. And we've selected a handful of what we think are really interesting organizations, supper clubs, restaurants, and purveyors to present their wares and samples and you know, just engage people. It's for a smaller... I think we're going to limit it to about 100 to 150 guests. And Mike Lee from Studio Feast was at the very top of our list. So maybe he can tell you what he's up to.
Actually, Mike, you were involved in this amazing L Train situation this last week, correct?
Yeah, May 1st, we did a 6-course lunch on the L Train.
Yeah. Mayday, mayday.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. I saw the New York Times coverage, and it must have been a shock to some of the other writers that weren't aware of what was about to happen.
Yeah, we got a lot of good shots of the people kind of just being completely surprised. But, I mean, all in all, I think everybody was pretty, they thought it was kind of whimsical and kind of cool. So that's been pretty satisfying to see, put a smile on someone's face.
How did it work? Where did you start at the Brooklyn end? I didn't get a chance to read the whole article.
So the idea came from Razor Shiny Knife and Johnny Cigar, and we all came around and executed the menu and the physical delivery of the food. But basically, diners were told to show up at 8th Avenue and 14th Street. They actually had no idea it was going to be on the train. They were just sold a ticket that was refunded to them for a nice Sunday lunch. So then we loaded people up onto the L train headed towards Brooklyn, strapped in these custom-built tables that we built that hung from the rungs. And then at 6th Avenue, the first court showed up. And then every four or five stops after that, a new team would come on with brand new food. So it wasn't like we packed on like a ton of food onto the next car and just kept on like picking it out of a cooler. We actually synchronized it so all the courses were different stops and completely independent teams.
Amazing.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
So what can we expect of you at Casey's Little Shindig?
So Casey's Little Shindig, it's the first time that we're getting out and seeing people since the stunt. So we're doing an old favorite that we've been kind of continuously improving on. It just works well for things that are like 100 or more people. We're doing Studio Feast pork belly with congee and pickles. So that's always been a crowd pleaser, and it'll be a nice day to kind of mingle and say hello to some people. So that's what we're doing this Saturday.
Excellent. I was at last year's big Brooklyn affair, and I've actually participated, I think, in the fifth New York one, or maybe...
Yeah, it was... Where was it?
That was at Bathhouse Studios.
Yep.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Definitely.
When I first came to the city, also looking for a community of all those terms you described, mm-hmm. you know, congenial and non-commercial, mm-hmm. Found that fit right away with the Slide Luck Pot Show and have been to many of events mm-hmm. therewith. What's so cool about it, aside from the excellent food and awe-inspiring photography, is having people like, you know, Mike and other collaborators come in and extend this community. Because it's also about, you know, networking. And I don't mean like, you know, rubbing elbows, business networking. Yeah. About like truly and wholeheartedly caring about your community networking.
Yep.
And
yep. And there's been a lot. I mean, there's so many examples of relationships and marriages and babies that have come out of it. I mean, you know, a lot of artists have found themselves representation. A lot of galleries have come and found artists for, you know, their rosters. And I feel like it's, but then there's also just the genuine, you know, just meeting interesting people that you then connect with and meet up again with at another show in London or Paris, or, you know, it's, the community kind of extends beyond the event itself, cause as we've created this online kind of global network, network.slideluckpotshow.com, and then through Facebook and social media. So there's definitely like a, you know, something that happens beyond the sort of hectic yeah. nature of the event.
Well, I want to ask Mike about the pork belly and congee. I mean, it's obviously specific. It's, you know, congee comes from a certain ethnicity.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that? Does it reflect you inherently, or is it just tasty?
Yeah, so the pork belly is actually done in a Japanese style. It's kakuni. It's a pork belly that takes about 13, 14 hours to do, and it's kind of a two-day preparation. And that kind of reflects the fact that I'm obsessed with Japanese food and Japanese culture, despite being a Chinese person. the congee is the Chinese end of it, too. I think my parents are a little upset that I've been to Japan. I've never been to China, actually. that's kind of like the thing that I marry it to. We used to do it a lot with grits because it's so rich and fatty, and grits are kind of just like the perfect vehicle for that.
Yeah.
So we're mixing it up and doing it with congee, which is similar. You know, congee usually you get, you know, pork in there that's, you know, kind of salted and flavorful. So that's really the impetus for the dish.
Yeah, because, you know, Casey might be slightly modest about this, but Slide Luck Pot Show has been around the world. You know, Sao mm-hmm. Paulo, San Francisco, Stockholm, amongst mm-hmm. other places. And you must get a whole bunch of, you know, regional cuisine.
Yeah, that's one of the joys of it, is to get in there and sample what's what people are making, you know, not in the restaurants, but in their homes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wish I had more examples at the top of my head, but my favorite, like, kind of moment, and I've was in Sevilla, Spain, when these brothers from Extremadura, which is, I think it's one of the top, you know, states for production of jamón, because of the nuts that grow, that the pigs then yeah. feed on. So they brought a leg of jamón and put it up on a stand and, you know, made, you know, kind of just sliced it for people as they came up. And the way in which they presented it to me, it was just so, you could tell there was so much heart there
yeah.
and so much pride. And of course it was amazing. But I just, you know, I love that, being able to like tap into that in different places.
Yeah. What are, other memorable dishes have you had along the way?
I mean, just last week in Phoenix, Arizona, there was a fantastic potluck. Someone made a tart with cherry tomatoes and what was the cheese? I don't know, but it was really delicate and yeah. I don't know. It was a really beautiful dish. Let me think on that.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming a little bit.
It's, you know,
because there's, you know, some, you know, people will roast a. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm just going to say it's not a bad thing that you have so much great food to think about that you can't, you know, yeah. think of, you know, pinpoint one. But aside from last year, where you broke the Guinness Book of World Record for largest potluck on Earth, is there another one for on aside from Earth, like not on Earth?
Is there another potluck? What are you saying?
Is there another Guinness Book of World Records that's for largest potluck not on Earth?
I do not. I'm not Jeff. Yeah. I'm not sure about that. We actually haven't. You know, we're not out to break any more records. We're gonna hopefully rest on our laurels for a little bit. But who's to say that someone's, you know, not out there?
Yeah.
Organizing the masses. But yeah, that was quite a thrill. I have to say that was a real high point. I mean, it was such a collaborative effort. There was, I guess, 479 individual dishes brought, and actually there were more dishes that went uncounted because people didn't want to wait in line. but regardless, that was you know, it's just you know, it's the kind of thing, those books I used to look at when I was a little kid. So it was kind of cool.
Yeah. So aside,
I was happy to have been one of those dishes. Yeah. So congrats on pulling it off.
And what did you bring last year? Was it
I brought miso deviled eggs.
See?
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about.
Oh, and people get wicked creative, yeah. You know, and people come to these things not just with, you know, a crappy casserole. Yeah. I mean, I bet you there are casseroles and they're pretty damn decent, but people really want to show up here and do something impressive, because to pair with the potluck, I mean, the imagery you show is stunning. I mean, you've had photographers like Chuck Close, Spencer Tunick, Gregory Crudson, Elliot Erwitt, Navid Kander. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's it definitely people are really bringing their A game in terms of the photography, and this Saturday will be no exception. I mean, we're going to be honoring the work of both Tim Hetherington and Chris Hondros, two of the best conflict photographers of our generation, who just passed away in Libya. As well as Michael Christopher Brown, who was alongside them. He's also a Seattleite, and he is presenting his iPhone photos from Libya that show an unbelievable insight into what's going on there. The work is going to be, you know, there's going to be some heavy moments, but it's going to be very enriching, I think, and people will walk away with a lot of insight into different aspects of the various forms of upheaval that are facing us today. Yeah.
But is that why you have the potluck before the slideshow, just so people get a foundation in their belly?
Right. You know, it's funny, there's a few cities that we actually flip it, and those are all in Spain, because they're really not interested in eating at 7 p.m. So we eat. Actually, we've played with it a little bit. We'll watch one half the slideshow, then eat some of the food, and then watch the other half the slideshow. And meanwhile, cigarettes are burning the whole time, so it's like smoky, and you know, there's like, it's a good atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to take a quick little break, and then we're going to come back, talk about more of the food and the photos involved in Slide Luck Pot Show. You can listen to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back.
Service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune in to The Main Course Sundays at 12 p.m. with hosts Patrick Martins and Katie Kiefer. They examine issues from the interconnected worlds of agriculture, cuisine, and sustainability. They sit down with key players in the chain, from producer to consumer, farmers, distributors, chefs, activists, and journalists. The Main Course explores every important component of the eating experience: how the farmers raise their product, the distribution channels that move the product, how the chefs prepare it, and how ethics and policy affect everyone involved. Again, that's The Main Course, Sundays at noon on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with photographer Casey Kelball. And director, founder of Slide Lock Pot Show. Actually, we have another caller right now, too. Is that Ben?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Ben. Casey had told me that you might give a holler. Ben is part of the Highlands Dinner Club, and Casey was also telling me you're an architect as well, so wear many hats.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Fantastic. Just wondering what your participation in this Saturday's...
Ben, I think you should have Ben talk a little bit about what he does, because it's pretty fascinating.
Cool. Yeah.
But Ben has been very integral to a couple events we've done recently. This specific event on Saturday is kind of focused on Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn-based organizations, and Ben is a Jersey boy, so...
so he's interstate rather than intrastate.
I would totally be there this weekend, but I'm watching after my my little girls, because my wife's away on retreat.
Yeah.
But, it's been fantastic working with Casey on a couple of events, and I'm sure we'll do more of the same in the future.
Tell us a little bit about the Highlands Dinner Club.
Well, see if I can try to encapsulate it. We're just about 2 years old now, and it started out just as a dinner party in New York to celebrate completion of a design project. I did a kitchen and living area renovation for a close friend I grew up with who lives in South Harlem, and it coincided with my father's move to New Jersey. I am a Jersey boy now, but I grew up out in South Central Pennsylvania. I come from five generations of fruit farmers, so I have I got ag running through my veins. So my dad moved to New Jersey, got back into agriculture, and we came in, and the apartment being a friend of mine I grew up with, my dad knows the guy, and we had this dinner party, and I built the menu and the meal out of ingredients sourced primarily from the farm where my father is retail ops manager. And then someone said, let's start doing this every month. We did, and then it started to grow into a more experimental thing, and then started to align in interesting ways with my architectural work, and most significantly, or initially, with a project in Nigeria I traveled to in the fall of 2009 to lead a design team designing a master plan for a fish farm in school. So
awesome.
It's been slowly but surely sort of design and food and food systems and agriculture all kind of starting to converge for me. So
yeah,
an interesting journey.
Yeah, you know, hearing that, it is such a similar environment to what Slide Lock Pot Show does. With that, you know, community-based first, but also localized is a word that keeps on coming up in discussions about the event and about the food being brought in, that you're really creating a foundation for that community, which talks about food systems and, you know, interactions that are cross-curricular from food to art to architecture.
And it was just last week. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to talk about
you. I was just going to say that Slide Luck is an absolute inspiration to HDC in that Casey's been at this longer than I, and to see that was very inspirational, and realizing that maybe this could build up more momentum and become something more interesting. So the using food and breaking bread, using the table as a catalyst and as a medium for creative interaction, I love it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Tell us about the Ramp Fest that you didn't you just was that last weekend?
Yeah, it was. That was last weekend. It was a lot of this connects back to my dad and the whole ag thing. My dad, over the years, had traveled to a number of, without me, unfortunately, I didn't get to make any of these trips with him, but to a lot of the ramp festivals that happen every year for, in some cases, maybe centuries, in some Appalachian states in the South, and said to me eventually, once I started finding ramps where I live in Northwest New Jersey, why doesn't New Jersey, which technically is an Appalachian state, have its own ramp fest? So we said, maybe we should create this. So it was on a local farm, Totten Family Farm, near my house in the Highlands, and the young farmers there were thrilled to let us set up this dinner, and about 80 people came, probably 60 from New York, and it was just out in the woods by a pond next to an old vegetable barn. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Casey, have you ever done a setting like that? I know this Saturday's event is, St. Anne's Warehouse, in Dumbo, but have you ever done Slideshow in the Woods?
We're really working on it. What we're hoping to do is launch in Vermont this summer. I went to school up there, and I'll be up there in July for a bit doing some photography work. And we have a bunch of different, you know, loose organizational people that we're trying to bring together and find a farm. I mean, there's, you know, possibilities of doing it in Burlington, but I want to do it in a barn or in a field, you know what I mean? And really tap into the local produce. And there's an organization, Outstanding in the Field. You're familiar with them? We're trying to find a way to sync up. They're super busy. They're on the road from this point on, basically, following essentially the season, the growing season. But at some point, maybe in Vermont or somewhere else, we'll make it happen. But yes, I'm all about it.
Yeah. I mean, what other areas around the world, states, parks, are you looking to start up SlideLine?
Well, you know, honestly, all of our growth has been by invitation. So, you know, we may get, I basically get an email every day from someone from, last week I got two emails from two different people in Dubai. Yesterday was Cape Town, Pittsburgh, Singapore. What else is there? Right now what we're hoping to launch this year in Australia, in Perth, Sydney, and Adelaide, as well as Tel Aviv, possibly Istanbul. Tokyo was high on our list, but we think that's probably not the best time, though. Perhaps it is a good rebuilding vehicle. So we're kind of just testing the water there. And of course, funding is a major, factor.
Yeah. themes. This being upheaval, you do use themes as a driving force, though, to bring the community together. I mean, in such a interesting world and environment we are right now, with things moving and changing, it's more than just a timely thing. Mm-hmm. For you to use these photographs as, you know, an impetus for whatever.
It's just a moment to pause and look at, I mean, there's, it's sort of head spinning to look at what's been going on over the last few years, from, you know, our own political system with the Tea Party to and that sort of backlash to the way technology is affecting relationships and families, and some of the insane natural disasters that are happening, it seems like, every other week now.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible. There's so much that we can't even include. I mean, you know what I mean? We had to pick and choose which level, you know, which insane circumstances to include. But and Whitney Johnson was a pleasure to work with from New Yorker, because she's really on the front lines dealing with a lot of the as stuff comes in, and she had a lot of insight, because she's very that's just sort of the world that she dwells in.
You know, I wanted to tap on how people contribute too, because I know you have these amazingly curated things, but Slide Luck Pot Show is also a network of people to meet other photographers, other creatives, other individuals. How do people contribute to Slide Luck as both a presenter and potlucker?
Well, every event combines an open call for submissions, of which there are many right now. We have shows coming up. Actually, the same night as New York, we have our fifth show in Barcelona. 2 weeks later, Seville, Spain, and then Amsterdam, Milan through June. Amsterdam, Milan, Bucharest we're launching in, which is exciting. Amsterdam is a launch as well. And then our third show in London and our second show in Paris. So pretty much every one of those shows is accepting work right now. And you don't necessarily, I mean, it's priorities given to the local artist.
Yeah.
But if you have a body of work that you shot in France, you know, it makes sense to send it along to Paris. The website is slideluckpotshow.com, and you can see the list of events upcoming. And, it's a pretty simple process.
Yeah. I mean, how many cities worldwide are you in right now?
Well, it's sort of complicated. I think we've done shows in over 50 cities, and there's shows sort of in the works in probably like 25 or 30 at any given time. But, you know, there's a lot of lead time involved. So it's hard to get a firm number on that. And, you know, the people that, it's all volunteer run. So the team in Chicago, for example, you know, one of the main people just moved to the Bay Area. The other one just had a kid and, you know, someone else relocated to Ann Arbor. Where I ran into
Ed Zingerman's during a holiday.
Yeah, it's funny. I only see you in places where there's bound to be like really good food close at hand. Last night at the James Beard Awards.
Yeah, I tend to put myself in those situations.
You target rich environments.
Yeah.
But
I kind of wanted to touch on, you know, you being a photographer too and going on assignments around the world as well. Have there been places where you photographed and had the local cuisine and said, selfishly, we should have a Slide Luck Pot Show here because I'd like to experience more of that?
There's definitely been a lot of synergy between my photo business or career and Slide Luck Pot Show. You know, it's helped if I can get a job, you know, I would find a, you know, I found a job in Brazil or in Europe. I would use that as a way to get ourselves over there and then start to build out some shows around there.
Yeah.
And then in terms of cuisine, I mean, I like a lot. There's a lot of, it's not that much I don't like.
Yeah.
So I think, I am excited to get to Tel Aviv and to tap into, you know, the, what I'm always told is the best food in the world. there's you know, there's often a link there.
Well, you have no formal kitchen training, but you've been around food for most of your life.
Yeah, but I mean, I simply like cooking. I like, I don't have any training. I don't pretend to have any expertise, but I cook three meals a day, and I think I like it because you can get exactly what you're looking for. You know, oftentimes when I'm eating out, I'm like, oh, that was too greasy, or that had, you know, didn't have any flavor, or that needed more rosemary, or whatever. So it's nice to just be able to nail it yourself, you know? So that's a lot of the impetus behind it.
Yeah, and you guys have been doing a lot of cooking at the SLPS headquarters, too, documenting your lunches for how long now?
Just since the fall. We were, you know, looking for ways to kind of engage the community a bit more through Facebook. So we started taking a picture of the lunch that we create pretty much every day.
Yeah.
And it you know, it's supposed to be a casual iPhone shot, but because we're photographers, I mean, it gets really ridiculous.
Yeah. What did you make today?
I actually didn't get a chance to cook today because I was on rushing over here. But I think Rachel Senchue, who's our new intern and also very good cook, made a kind of a egg scramble tortilla thing with the, you know, spring onions and tomatoes and everything, and melted cheese. And that was, she shared it with Carly Planker, our producer, who they're both doing, along with the rest of our team, Emily Peters, who's running our potluck, and James Turnley, our webmaster. They're all working hard on the show for Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say working hard on eating that tortilla.
But we like to mix it up and try to just kind of like go with what's in the fridge and then, you know, supplement it where needed, but try to put something visually interesting on the table every day.
So, you know, this Brooklyn Bounty that you're having on Saturday, last year you had a couple chefs involved in that. Do you try to have chefs involved, or would you prefer having just, you know, your Joe Doe normal community member?
I think it's really interesting to have a mix. I think supper clubs like Highlands Dinner Club are an essential part of it. Also purveyors, you know, people doing really specialized. We have the DP Chutney Collective involved.
Yeah.
Danny Macaroons. Who else? Just, you know, people just working on tinkering with certain things. I mean, I know you do, Michael. You do a lot of you do sourdoughs, you're always you brew beer as well, right?
I've not done my first brew yet. I drink a lot of brewed beer.
Uh-huh.
I have myself a kit included at my house waiting to do my first batch, but
but I feel like you're always pickling. I don't know, you're always experimenting with different, you know.
That I am. But I mean, it's such a great forum, coming to Slide Luck and almost use it as a testing ground as well.
Exactly.
Because you get such great response and such, you know, creative people and ideas on how to improve, how to change, or if it's just perfect, just keep it as is.
Michael, actually, sorry to take the heat off me. Mike curated our, we had our first fundraiser and auction in November, and Michael curated the whole food part and brought in a bunch of other, primarily supper clubs, right? Is that right, Mike?
Yeah.
And I was trying to remember what the menu was, because it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, are you talking about the test dinner in the fall?
No, I'm actually, oh, sorry.
Is that Ben? That was Ben.
Mike, I didn't, okay.
Yeah, that was me.
I'm sorry.
My luck launch at Sandbox.
Well, okay, first of all, we get on with the test dinner, too. That was unreal.
Yeah.
That was a test dinner for the Michelin dinner, which is another really interesting story, I think, in terms of upheaval in the food world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So a bunch of supper clubs cooking for three-star chefs.
Yeah. Give them the background. It's
crazy. Yeah, let me hear about that. That's not the slightest bit intimidating.
That was last year. The PR company that does the Michelin Red Guide tours reached out to the Whisk and Ladle to curate supper clubs to do the dinner. The thing with the party that they have, and this comes out the night of the book launch for the new Red Guide for New York, they can never really use restaurants because it would just show a bias.
Yeah.
So at the Woolworth Building, which I guess was neutral territory, and I guess typically they usually just get some sort of catering or something like that, but they decided to focus on the local people like us that were doing stuff. So there was five different groups involved. Ben was one of them. Myself was one of them. We all had different stations, and you had to pick a protein, and you had to pick a specific red guide from where there was a Michelin guide. So I picked lamb, and I picked Japan. Ben, what did you get?
We picked beef, and we picked Spain, and then of course we pushed the envelope and started bringing in freshwater fish and whatnot too. So, but that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that was a good time. So we had a big test dinner because we actually weren't allowed to invite anyone from our own lists, but we wanted to really pressure test everything just because we didn't want to drop the ball the day of the Michelin thing.
Yeah,
and how did it go ultimately?
It was great. It was a great time. It was the most dense kind of high level chef area that I've ever been in. It's just everybody walks in and it's like, holy crap! It's like Jean-Georges and Massa and Eric Rippert and everyone all in like this little square footage. So it was a pretty good night.
It was definitely an incredible, a mind blowing experience. And that was for me in HDC sort of our coming out party. I mean, prior to that, the most experimental thing we had done was our Harlem Fish Fry on the corner on 113th Street. But it was amazing working with all the other dinner clubs who I hadn't connected with yet. And then also, as Casey mentioned, the test dinner, which was the run-up to the main event. That's where I met Casey, and that was, I was on cloud nine, and it was really cool to meet him. And I think we connected there, and then that's where we sort of formulated our plans to work together on Slide Luck.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I keep on thinking it'd be amazing to see what these, Michelin-starred chefs would bring to Slide Luck Talk Show.
That's great. I invited Marcus Samuelson last night, so we'll see whether he...
Next year. We'll do that. We're trying to get a whole bunch of chefs to cook the food they cook for themselves to Slide Luck Pot Show. But
I like
if you're around Saturday, starting at 5:30 is the beautiful, bountiful Brooklyn tasting hour. Side show starts around 7, 8-ish.
The potluck start. The regular potluck starts at 7, and the slideshow will kick off around 9.
Excellent. So if you find yourself in Dumbo, New York Photo Festival is going on to St. Anne's Warehouse, is House of Slide Luck Pot Show that day. Stop by, bring some food. Come for the food, stay for the photos. You will not be disappointed. Casey, Mike, Ben, thank you all for participating today. And
thank you.
Yeah. Hope to
thank you.
Have a good one.
See some wonderful photos and eat some wonderful food this Saturday. Again, slideluckpotshow.com. Check it out. Big thank you, Jack Inslee, our producer. You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.com. And to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. And now here's some behind-the-scenes food news with Katie Kiefer.
Guess what? Food prices will likely continue to rise given the fact that corn planting is lagging way behind last year. According to Drover's Cattle Network, planting is down 53%, which will undoubtedly put more of a squeeze on livestock farmers, especially pork and chicken farmers, because after all, they're the ones who use more corn than anybody else in terms of livestock production. Here's a quote from the Drover's Cattle Network. 13% of the corn in the top 18 producing states has been planted, according to the USDA's Crop Progress Report, which was released on May 2nd. Although it is a 4% improvement from last week, nationally, the 2011 corn planting is 27% behind the five-year average and 53% behind 2010's progress, and this is no doubt likely to bad weather, drought conditions in various places, and more rain in others. Who knows? But whatever it is, look to see your grocery bills rising over the next few months. This is Katie Kiefer for Behind the Scenes Food News.
Did you know we have a beer show? Check out a small clip from Beer Sessions Radio.
All right, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, and I'm here with Ray Dieter from the DBA Boys.
Hey, Jim.
Ray, this is a fun show. We're drinking Belgian beer. We're drinking Ichtigum, hanging out with the guys from 124 Rabbit Club. We got Don and Wendy from Van Bergen the Wolf. Well, let's go back a little bit to kind of build your pedigree. So the two of your top brands that we love and that you have now, Scaldi and Saison DuPont.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us how you met those guys, how you started working with them.
Well, Saison DuPont was really... that was.
If you want to hear more, head over to heritageradionetwork.com where new episodes of Beer Sessions are posted every week in our archive. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. In the next few weeks, Heritage Foods USA will be offering an interesting variety of amazing products, ranging from top-quality seafood to their famous pork cuts. At the end of May, the Heritage team will go up to Maine to harvest fresh lobster with sustainable lobstermen. These delicious lobster are a perfect way to kick off the summer season. In the pork department, Heritage Foods USA will offer the maple-cured, smoked, boneless Heritage ham at an unbeatable price. This offer won't last long, so get them while you can. Place your order today at heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985. That's 718-389-0985 to place your order with Andrea or Ashley. And don't forget to sign up for the email list and to check them on Facebook and Twitter to get in on their new products, deals, and offers from Heritage Foods USA.